Hi, this is Peter Rutherford from Fosswire. Today we have a joint podcast for you from Fosswire and from our sister site You Make Media at youmakemedia.com. Here we interview Mark Kennedy, who is the CEO of Celtix. Celtix is a project to build an open source screenwriting solution and now does all sorts of stuff to do with media production. We talk a little bit about the open source project and how it fits in from a media perspective. So let's get started. So what is Celtix? What does it do?
We call Celtix media pre-production software. Brings you from the moment that you've got an idea for a story to the point where you should be able to actually make it, the production phase. So whether it's a film or a documentary or a theater stage play, a radio play or a podcast, you have it. And we've been trying to put together a suite, really, of tools, all nicely integrated, that enables you to do all those tasks that are involved in the pre-production phase.
Could you give us a brief history of the project, how you got from starting off with development and to this point having such an active community and that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, I started the company, co-founded it with Chad House, who's our system architect, and we did that back in late 2000, and we spent the first year or so, I guess, of our existence doing work for other people. We built some other applications for some companies and other startups, actually, kind of going to school, if you will, on the whole process while we were doing it. And during that phase, we were also doing our own analysis on where we thought some opportunities might lie. And I guess we were at our essence a software development company. That's what Chad and I shook hands over. So quite frankly, at that point, it didn't really matter to us what the industry was per se. We just wanted to find an area that was interesting and then complemented what we wanted to do. Eventually, and it didn't take us long, actually, we settled on the film industry, because if you think about it, the year 2000, you look back and you say, okay, well, that was sort of the Napster era, and was plain on its face for us, at least, that what had happened to music in that all the models were being rapidly revamped because of the internet, was just a matter of time before that would happen to film and video. Wasn't an ideological issue, it was just a technical issue. So we figured we wanted to beaver away, if you will, on the film industry and try to spot an opportunity in it. And then following that, we figured out, well, the area of pre-production, the whole sort of idea generation and writing and most notably the breakdown phase of a production where there's, you know, teams of people involved, was a really underserviced area. There was little in the way of a sensible piece of software that people could use to do their job, and that was clear when you looked at the big unwieldy three-ring binders with sticky notes and Polaroids and handwritings in the margins and the like. So we latched on to that pre-production part of the filmmaking business and said, well, we could do that. We can make a piece of software that provides a suite of these tools in a sensible way, so you're not trying to move your data out of one piece of software into another piece of software and encountering all those, you know, issues that you often do with proprietary file formats and just data loss. So we decided to put our, you know, stake in the ground early, recognizing it was going to take us a while to build this thing because it was wasn't an easy problem to solve, which was probably why most people ran away from it. Really follow close to the philosophy of just listening very, very carefully to what people are telling you about what they like about the software and what they don't like about the software, and always trying to reflect that feedback into what you're doing. And we've just been on a continuous hunt ever since, really, of fulfilling what people need and as well trying to inject their own sort of vision into where we think this should go. And we've been really, you know, fortunate in having this fantastic community of users that have jumped onto the wagon to the point now where we're, you know, just coming very close to the end of our beta period, and the community is just awesome. I mean, it's just something to behold, and we often go around with a smile on our face here just seeing how people help each other and also the feedback that we get. It's just really terrific.
Cool. So obviously Celtix is open source. So what challenges does being open source and being an open source project present, and how do you overcome them?
I guess the biggest challenge of using open source software or being an open source software company is one of perception, really. Most people that are in the open source software business, I imagine, encounter the same thing. And you know, we all know what that's about, which is a bit of the proprietary guys creating some FUD. And people just not understanding what open source software is, what it means, and of course the irony is that they often reach the opposite conclusion that you would hope that they would reach, i.e. they think it's not as good as proprietary software, or it's not as secure as proprietary software. And I think the jury may be still out on that in the mass market, in the sense that people are starting to understand that, well, hang on, now there's some really good things to open source software. So we, you know, and that's a huge macro level issue. So, you know, there's not much we can do to assuage people's concerns, but nonetheless, we can just continuously make better software. I mean, that's what we see as our role to play in changing people's attitudes towards it. Technically, it's been nothing but a boon for us. Our software, Celtix, is built on the Mozilla framework, and really specifically the Firefox web browser. And so every time, you know, the tremendous Firefox community of developers improves, you know, the Firefox software, we often can use many of the things in that improved version of Firefox to improve Celtix. So in a way, we've got this, just like a lot of open source projects, a tremendous development community behind it. Only they're behind the base platform for us, which is the Mozilla framework.
So where do you see Celtix fitting in a typical production workflow, whether that be a film or a theater production or really any sort of production? What specific role do you see that playing for the producers or directors in that role?
Well, trick, I guess, is if you can get the person who's comes up with the idea for the story that they want to tell, and if it's a film, then presumably that's the writer, and that writer uses Celtix to do their project. Well, now you've got the project in Celtix and suited quite well for it to stay in a digital format so that other people can work on it in a sensible fashion. So that when it's time to do a breakdown, then you've got people who can be involved in that project directly in it through Celtix, when the storyboard artist gets involved. And so on, through all the different steps of that pre-production process. So what we would like to see is Celtix being the sort of de facto platform for making films, that this is the tool you use when you go to make a movie, and that we would hopefully bring you right up to the point where now you're actually on set shooting your film.
Cool. So you talked a bit about the community earlier. What role does the community play in determining the development of Celtix and in what direction it's going?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of drawing out everything when I'm talking, and of course that's not possible in at this time. But if you can picture a sort of line from, you know, point A to point B, and point A is right at the idea of the generation of your idea, and point B is where you're actually ready to shoot. When we came out with our very, very first version of the software, it really didn't have a great deal of functionality, as you would expect any, you know, brand spanking new piece of early beta software to be. But we kind of tried to put our spot in the middle of that line, so halfway between A and B. We really weren't supporting the writers completely. We weren't really supporting the team of prop people and set design people fully. But we knew that, you know, if we went too far ahead of ourselves and tried to anticipate too much about what people wanted, there's a huge risk of you not doing it properly, of you not guessing correctly. And so what we wanted to do is sort of put that flag down and then let people tell us, well, this is what we think you should do. And that's what we did. And we had people use this offer right away, which was amazing. I mean, when we were in the very first version of our software, there was a 16-step install process. We used to joke here that just as well they sent their tower to us and we would install a form and send it back. But you know, people stuck with it. I mean, that's one of the beauties of the Internet is there's people out there who will test the earliest kind of software that you can put out there. And next thing we knew, we were getting a lot of writers. Writers started taking to it. Now, they had a long list of needs and wants and demands. But we knew that, well, okay, if we're going to be successful, that's what we have to do. We have to do that for them. And so, you know, for the last 3 years, that's what the exercise has been, largely, is responding to people's requests for we need it to do this, or it would be great if it did that. And then we size it up. Now, sometimes we don't implement it exactly like they may want it implemented, but it gives them the functionality at the end that they're looking for, hopefully. And so without that community around us, we'd be lost. I mean, it would be impossible, I think, to build a piece of software like Celtic, something as sort of robust and complex as it is, without having that feedback from people.
Now, there are a lot of tools in Celtic for generating scripts for the printed page, like your new typeset feature or generating reports and things, but the majority of the application is built around a paperless environment, such as your server-side collaborative efforts and things like that. How do you see the paperless format fitting in a production workflow, and why do you think Celtic is the best platform to deliver that solution?
One of the sort of design specs, if you will, that we established early on was we wanted to keep people in a digital environment for as much as we could, because we see that as being the most efficient way for people to work. You know, in other words, try to do away with as much of the paper as we could. An awful lot of it was generating paper for the sake of it, and when really it made way more sense for people to stay in a digital environment, stay on their computer, continuing to do their work. Now, that being said, what we recognize as well is that, you know, if you've got a team of like 8 or 10 people, say, working on a film, not every single one of them are going to want to jump in with both feet into a digital work tool. There's always going to be some people who, you know, want to stay with the way they know, want to stick with the tried and true, and are hugging that, you know, three-ring binder for all their life. So we had to make sure for us, strived to make Celtic friendly to both groups, so that if you were someone working and comfortable working with a computer all the time, that's the way you thought, that's the way you did your work, then that's the way you would continue to work, and you would use Celtic to do it. If, however, one of the members of your team was a person who printed everything off and needed that security or comfort, if you will, of having all that paper around them, then they could do that, use Celtic in part to work digitally, but then generate tons of paper, and then both of those people would still be able to work together. So ultimately, I think, you know, you're going to clean up. If everyone was using Celtic, you would get rid of an awful lot of the paper that's involved, that's for sure. And that's the ultimate goal. But I think you're always going to have some paper. You know, it's impossible to do away with it completely.
So how do you build and foster this community around Celtic, as you've done quite successfully?
Yeah, the sort of secret sauce, if you will, and I wish I had a nice pithy answer for you. I think, you know, it's just a ton of hard work. We've always, you know, we have a small office here. There's 8 of us involved in this project. We work in one office. We're on one floor. Our offices are all close together. We have sort of an open concept for main office. And people, you know, the people working here, Sheila and Steve and Tony, we yak out constantly every day or through instant messaging, which, of course, is the irony when you're sitting right next to someone that you instant message them instead of actually talking to them. But we're guilty of that sin here for sure. And we've always paid really close attention to all the people that have been participating in the project from the community side. So whether it's been through the forum or the, you know, thousands of emails that you get over the run of a week from people. And we discuss them like as individuals, I guess. When someone has a particular problem, someone's having some frustrating experience, or someone's coming at us with new ideas or trying to help us in some way by creating new topics or contests on the forum, then we yak that out immediately. And we know an awful lot of our users who are active, you know, on that personal first-name basis. So I think that's the trick. It's just identifying with people at that personal level and letting them know that, well, you're not this faceless company. You're also people, and dealing with them person on person. And next thing you know, it's the word of mouth. So if you're kind and good to those key people, they'll spread the word, hopefully, for you. And that's been the case. So it's kind of just been a snowball effect ever since.
Are there any plans in process right now to tightly integrate Celtix with any existing production software or any other production interfaces that are out there? For example, being able to import script cues from Celtix into Final Draft or that sort of thing to kind of make it interoperable?
Chris, what's interesting is that when we first started off, it wasn't our intention to have a full script writing editor in Celtix. And now, lo and behold, you know, 4 years later, we've got four editors in Celtix. Our intention was always to play nice with everybody. Celtix is an open standard. In addition to being open source, it's, you know, sort of ipso facto, then also based on open standards. And there's no proprietary data formats. Even the new .Celtix file that was introduced with our latest release is a non-proprietary data format. So you can just take that extension .Celtix and turn it into .zip, rename it, and it'll unzip in any third-party unzipping application. But, you know, it was a difficult thing to try to tie into some of these other outfits because they weren't really thinking that way. They were proprietary in nature, and so it's not very easy to get their data into your application, and it's virtually impossible to do it vice versa. So it sort of necessitated us to build our own editors. That's why we ended up sort of going down that route. Now, what we see is the other direction. Post 995, we've sort of indicated already, I think, on the forum and elsewhere that our focus is going to be on making Celtix friendlier to and reaching out to some of these other third-party applications. So whether we hook into some APIs or for some of the sort of social networking sites, or whether we tie in some plugins for existing software like Final Cut, that's what we've got under active review right now. We always go through a period sort of post-release where we have a lot of sort of blue sky sessions, just yakking out possible options for directions that we'd like to head. And that's one of the ones that's clearly a lead horse in the race of tying into these third parties. Third-party applications and third-party websites. We're also looking at sort of a mobile angle, which I guess is sort of related to that. The idea being that if you were a props person, you were out in the field, you could take some pictures with your digital camera, and if you have the capability, you could send them along, and they would upload directly to your Celtix project on the Celtix server. And so the next time you fire up Celtix, those pictures would already be populated in your project. And vice versa, if anyone is a team member of that project and they logged into that project, they would see the pictures that you just took and uploaded. So there's a few pretty nifty things that we can do with Celtix now that we've got all the sort of major pieces in place. That's not to say that we've perfected them, but they are there. And so we're going to start to see if we can, that's what's the word they use, embrace and extend.
And hopefully not extinguish. So what influenced you to choose a Mozilla-based platform over something else?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
What influenced you to choose Mozilla as the base platform for building Caltex on top of?
Yes. Well, I will attribute that decision entirely to Chad House. Chad, who's just a fantastic partner and programmer extraordinaire, he was involved in the development of the Moz, the original Mozilla on the Sea Monkey, which was one of the early builds and or the early trees. And if you actually pull up the Firefox list of contributors, Chad House is there. So Chad was already quite familiar with the platform, and he saw it as being robust, and he saw it as being very friendly to developers. And so we just decided to hitch our wagon to that, which is always a risky bet because, well, it was early for us, and that was before Firefox. That was when they were still just under the Mozilla load, the browser email client sort of all in one. But, it's a bit that's really paid off for us.
Well, thank you very much for being a part of this interview and agreeing to be on our podcast.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And also to the both of you for being such great members of the community and for the feedback that we've gotten from you about Celtix. It's all gone in to make it a better software application. Thanks again.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that wraps up this episode of this Fossware You Make Media joint podcast. So we'll see you next time.